This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. With the release of the second batch of crop reports, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, about what we're seeing out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We did see continued deterioration in the winter wheat crop over the past week, largely due to the drought conditions into the plains. The Midwest soft red winter wheat crop remained near average condition for this time of year, maybe a little bit delayed in maturity. As we go into the plains hard red winter wheat crop, that definitely delayed in maturity and showing the stress of this year's drought as well as winter kill damage. And now over the past week, we've had some episodes of cold weather that may have done some more damage as well, with temperatures on Tuesday morning dipping down into the teens to low 20s in parts of central Kansas down into the Texas-Oklahoma panhandle where wheat was in the jointing stage. May have done some additional damage there. It'll be probably 10 days to 2 weeks before we have a better handle on that.
And some people were concerned about soil temperatures with this cold weather also.
Well, that's exactly right. As we came through last week, we really warmed up soil temperatures, and we saw some corn planting as far north as portions of Iowa and northern Illinois. Not a lot of it, but some of it going into the ground. But big change in the weather over the weekend, really cooled things down. It looks like we're going to remain relatively cool through much of this week, slowly moderating temperatures. But it does look like we're going to start to drying things out a little bit and allowing for some field work. Traders really not too concerned yet about planting delays. They know that we get to the month of May and the weather cooperates, we can plant a lot of corn in a hurry. So they're really not too concerned yet about it at this time.
And how are we doing on soil moisture?
Soil moisture overall remains very low in the plains and the western Midwest. Rainfall over the past weekend was very good for portions of the Midwest. We still have a long ways to go to refill the soil profile, but there are areas of Nebraska and Iowa that have been dry that received 1 inch to 2 inches of rainfall, and certainly that was welcome moisture. Ironically, much of the Nebraska and portions of Iowa and the plains received some snowfall over the weekend as well. So it's the winter that doesn't want to let go.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. For the Illinois Crop Report, severe storms and heavy rainfall continued throughout the state last week. Activities included anhydrous application, spring tillage, and oat planting. Potato and limited corn planting began early in the week. Statewide temperatures averaged 54.5 degrees, 5.1 degrees above normal. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.32 inches, 0.63 inches below normal. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 73% adequate, and 17% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 5% very short, 27% short, 61% adequate, and 7% surplus. Winter wheat conditions were rated at 3% very poor, 6% poor, 35% fair, 45% good, and 11% excellent. We all know how dangerous working with grain bins can be, which is why the fire district for the Nokomis area now has a rescue tube to assist in grain bin rescues. I spoke with Joe Gasbridge, chief of the Nokomis area fire district, to find out more.
Yes, this tube was donated to our department, and it was donated by Route 16 Grain Cooperative and Cole Brothers.
How important is it for the station to have this in the area?
There were a couple others in the area that were purchased a few years ago by the Farm Bureau, but it's nice to have one in the station because it's one of those things that if you need it, you need to have it available as soon as possible.
And during your career, have you had to assist with grain bin rescues before?
Yes, unfortunately, we have been involved in them in the Nokomis area, and we have also assisted some of the other rural fire departments in the area in actually doing rescues out of bins.
And how are you hoping that this tube helps with everything? Can you kind of give us a rundown on how it works?
If you don't have something like this and you actually have to do the rescue, you've got to somehow or another find a way to isolate the patient when they're in the grain. And so without this tube, you have to kind of devise something or wait for someone to bring one to you. But this tube actually can be disassembled and then reassembled around the trapped individual. Then you can get the grain away from the person and get them out of the bin.
It sounds like it should be a very effective tool.
They are. These things have been marketed for a few years. GSI is the one that built this one, and, you know, being in the grain business, we feel like this is probably one of the best we could have gotten a hold of.
Great. Is there some special training before using it?
There's training on the equipment, and we're also going to implement some training on the Department for Confined Space Rescue, because that's really what you're dealing with when you get inside of one of these grain bins.
All right. Well, this sounds like one of those things that you hope you never have to use it, but when you do need to use it, it's going to be handy to have around.
Yeah, and part of that, too, I think producers in the area need to be aware of how dangerous it actually is when they go inside of a grain bin, either to clean it out or to try to, knock some of the grain off the side of it that's been maybe has dried and has to be removed. It's not a good environment to be in, and these gentlemen, as they're working in it, need to remember they need to harness themselves in and tie themselves off so they don't have this happen. But if something would happen, we're just glad we've got the equipment to kind of go out and assist.
All right. Is there anything else you want to add about this rescue tube or any other safety message you want to give out?
Well, it was a combined effort of Route 16 Grain, Old Brothers, and GSI in getting this equipment to us, and we appreciate the efforts of all three of these groups.
Again, that was Joe Gasbridge, Chief of the Nokomis Area Fire Protection District. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin, or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
Your family's safety is important to you. By choosing Comfort Pro Propane from M&M Service for your home heat, you can be sure that you're getting a safe and economical fuel. Furthermore, the Comfort Pro staff at M&M Service is properly trained to make sure that your propane system is in proper working order. So don't take unnecessary risks. Contact M&M Service Company today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
If fuel prices are costing you a small fortune, Area Diesel Service can help with 5 new Agricultural Diesel Solutions modules. Now over 400 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower. And these performance modules aren't just for combines, there are modules for light and medium duty trucks. Truck Edition modules will give your Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax, Dodge, Caterpillar, and International pickups and work trucks increased horsepower and up to 3 more miles per gallon. Call 800-637-2658 or go to areadieselstore.com for more details.
Steak on the Grill, a crisp salad and baked potatoes served with Prairie Farm sour cream. Plan your next cookout around farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Sour cream for the baked potatoes, butter for the vegetables and rolls. For a dip everyone will enjoy, Prairie Farms French onion dip, perfect with chips or crunchy fresh veggies. And to quench that warm weather thirst, grab a plastic pint of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
This is Wayne Schaefer, your country financial agent in Jerseyville. Farming is more than an occupation. It's a way of life. So when you want to protect your farm, it goes a lot deeper than protecting your crops, buildings, and machinery. You can't trust your farm protection to just anyone. You want an insurance company with decades of farm experience, like Country Financial. We have insured your parents' farm, even your grandparents' farm. So let us put 80 years of experience to work for you. Find out more about farm insurance from me, your country agent in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
Many motorists can appreciate how hard this winter was on the roads, but some came out of the season worse off than others. The West Frontage Road from Farmersville to Litchfield has been generating some interest lately. I spoke with Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association.
See, that's a state-maintained highway, and matter of fact, just this morning, I mean, there was some patching going on. Matter of fact, I think they were putting a sign up that even said rough road. So I don't know if that's a concession that the road's going to stay rough. Doesn't sound good. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're going to fix it, but they were putting signs up there this morning. you know, the this has been a discussion. I know Representative Rosenthal had some feedback on that, and you know, trying to see if the state was going to do anything with it. It is a heavily traveled road. I mean, it's a main access point to get in and out of a Wagoner and facilities that are along that roadway. So will the state include any money to fix it? Well, it's going to need an overlay more than anything else. And it's not just a simple job because, I mean, it does handle a lot of 80,000-pound traffic. So not sure if it's going to be on the priority list. The governor's office and IDOT did release their 2015 to 2020 long-range transportation plan last week. A lot of road projects that are in there they're looking, you know, and these are the big road projects they're talking about. So there's a lot of money there for a lot of things, including the first step to rebuild I-55 around Springfield. And I mean, this is going to be a decades-long project, obviously, but again, they're starting the first engineering work. So is that going to take higher priority than, say, the frontage road along I-55? Depends on whose arm they can twist, because maybe they'll get that done.
There are some people who are looking to persuade decision makers to take a serious look at the frontage road. Thomas Martin lives on the road and has started a petition to get it fixed.
Yes, actually, it's only been 1 week now since I started the petition. I live on the West Frontage Road up north of the Raymond exit, which is actually former U.S. Highway 66. We were blessed from 1940 to 1977 to have U.S. 66 routed through basically right our front yard. And the West Frontage Road serves basically as a historical reminder of that time. The West Frontage Road, basically from Farmersville to 16th Avenue north of Litchfield, is Old 66, and it also serves as an important service road for people who live on that side of the interstate, which also includes the towns of Atwater and the village of Wagoner, in addition to people going from Farmersville to Litchfield. So there's just a lot of people who use that road, and it's been concerning this past year. Of course, winter was hard on many of our Illinois roads, but this road has been deteriorating for some time, and so I have worked on doing a petition drive to get support out there so IDOT and our state officials can know that this road is important. I've actually garnered the support of the Route 66 Association of Illinois in doing a complete resurfacing of this road, and we're actually looking for more than just an oil and chip solution to this problem. We're looking for a more long-term solution. Certainly, I think many of the listeners might be distraught when they hear of some of the stories that are coming out of the panhandle recently, where motorists are popping tires, bending rims. Even one example of a lady from Wagoner who had her struts shoot up through her car, and I believe it was over $1,000 of damage. Certainly not something I want in front of our house, and this issue is definitely something important to my family. Since 1959, our family has been the host of the Shrine of Our Lady of the Highways, which is a Route 66 landmark. And Our Lady of the Highways was established for people to have an opportunity to pray and to reflect, at least, on safety while they're traveling the highway. Well, unfortunately now, some of the tourists who will be coming, especially over the summer months, it's unsafe for them to come because of the road conditions. And so that's something that we're trying to get the word out, that we need to do this not only for our local citizens, but also for the tourists who come and travel Route 66, not only from around the country, but also from all across North America, Europe. In fact, I was just learning about a Chinese motor tour that's planning on coming through.
And that is very important to bring up, the rough winter. With this winter, there was a lot of road heaving. And from what you describe, this road is suffering from more than just a few potholes that you have to dodge.
Yeah, it's something that sounds so cliche to be, you know, trying to do a petition and get the word out to get potholes fixed. But when you think about how important this road is for access to farms and other rural residents, including those people who live in Wagoner and Atwater, this has just gotten to a point where doing some patchwork is not going to be enough. We need to actually look at doing a long-term solution to save the West Frontage Road, which again used to be 66. Some of the locations, if any of the listeners are interested in supporting our cause and signing the petition, I have petitions at all the gas stations and bars in Farmersville, as well as West End and Raymond, which is the Phillips 66 station. I also have them down at the 108 exit, which some might know as the Carlinville exit of 55, at Friar Tuck's, as well as the Magnuson Hotel. And these are all places that we have worked to get more of the word out so that people can know that we are trying to get a solution, so that our elected officials can have something in hand saying, you know, we have this many people who are really interested in seeing this road preserved for future generations.
And you said that this was utilized a lot by farmers. How is that going to work out with planting season?
The road is a concrete substructure. So, I mean, there is certainly is a legacy there for the road to be able to handle heavy loads. The problem is with the popping of the tires and everything, I mean, I don't feel safe leaving my own lane half the time without 10-ply tires. Certainly, we have reevaluated some of the routes that we haul some of our grain from our farm on because we don't want to do so much damage to our trucks. Those are just some of the things that we have to now consider that might not have been a consideration in previous years.
And you also don't want to create even further damage to the road by driving heavy equipment on it.
Correct. And that's just, we want to look out for the motorists in our area, and keeping their safety in mind is something that certainly comes, again, with that legacy of having that shrine on our family's farm, that we want to see motorists, both local and tourists, kept safe so that that way they can visit businesses and historical sites all along our stretch of Route 66 through Montgomery County.
Again, that was Thomas Martin on the rough condition of West Frontage Road. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.